didn't tell him I was to do this, but Pastor Ray Kirkland just got back today, this afternoon, from the Philippines, where we've been holding crusades and meeting with hundreds of pastors. I want him to come up and just say hi and give you just a brief description of exciting things happening in the islands of the Philippines. Welcome home.
Well, we had a great time. We landed in Manila, and I visited with an old friend of mine that we helped plant there some 20 years ago. Sammy is his name. And he now has 32 conferences throughout the islands, and they've held four of them so far this year and planted 25 churches out of those four. They're in Davao City this week. We'll plant another eight, and they're looking to plant over 100 churches this year alone. And so all of those churches have decided to align themselves and be part with COTRI, or Church on the Rock International, and that's exciting. Then we went from there into a place called Bacolod, and in Bacolod, I taught on the Seven Mountain Principle, and they were listening. All the pastors, perhaps 100 or so pastors, were really paying attention, and so I asked them, they asked me what to do, and I said, you should invite the mayor to come to this crusade we're going to do on Friday night for the youth in a park. So they ended up inviting a mayor that's, I guess you'd call her the general, I'm not going to get the terminology right, I believe it's the general district mayor, but basically the island is divided into five areas, and she oversees two, which would probably be 2 million people. She's in charge of them, and so what happens if there's any land disputes or marital problems or anything, they go to her. She's like the Supreme Court. She makes all the rules and all the decisions. Well, they called her, and it surprised all of them. She actually came and brought a full entourage, police protection and everything else. That night, she heard a simple gospel message. She gave her life to the Lord. Amen. And then we prayed for her afterwards, and I said to the pastor, I said, now that's Seven Mountains. What you need to do now is invite her to church on Sunday. So they did. It shocked them because she showed up at church on Sunday with a full entourage of people. Then the Lord gave me a beautiful word for her. I spoke a word to her. She was just weeping and crying. God touched her heart. And I said, now that's Seven Mountains. Now invite her out for Easter morning to speak 10 minutes in your pulpit. They were a little stunned, but they did it. She's going to bring half the city with her when she comes. And that's the way you build a church. Amen. It's awesome as God was touching. So all of those pastors, perhaps several hundred more pastors, have now decided to align. I got an email this morning. They're also going to align with Church on the Rock International. So God is just doing awesome, awesome things. And we thank you for your support and your prayers as we're there. Thank you, Dr. Maid, for all you do.
It's awesome. We want to, we are going to get, you know, coordinated. And right now, Ray and Gail have moved, Pastor Ray and Gail moved here from Washington in the first of the year to really help me with the leadership of Church in Iraq, especially traveling and visiting these places that I can't go as often as they can, as he can. And just so honored that they're here, that they're just working like crazy. And but I think it'd be awesome next time we go, Pastor Ray, just to bring about 30, you know, CFTN people to the Philippines, and you can see, you know, we can just unleash you on the places we go, and even the places that we go in the States, just tremendous opportunity everywhere we're going, and people are very hungry. It's a great season because people are very hungry for God, very open, and searching for answers. Even in the church world, they're searching for what works. They're searching for new direction from God, and so it's an important time, and we want to take full advantage of this moment in history and do everything Papa wants done. Amen? It's an awesome day. So welcome home, Pastor Ray. I want to, this is on my heart, I think Elaine Sullivan, I know she's, there she is. You know, I had a vision during the worship, and I saw three homes. So the Lord's going to give you a woman's home in Arizona, and it's going to be a miracle house. And then I saw an orphanage in Haiti, and the third home I think was a woman's home in Haiti. So in the name of Jesus, I loosen three miracle properties to you in the name of Jesus, and I thank God for it. I was just had just an amazing kind of prophetic week, very specific stuff happening. And very exciting, very exciting. I've been doing a little mini-series on Wednesday nights It's time to get unstuck and move forward. Let me read you something I posted today. This is your beautiful day. Can I have an amen from this Presbyterian congregation? It's a new season and a new day for your life. The reason that Father God has implanted an unreasonable and undefeatable expectation in your heart about things changing and getting better is because that's what's going to happen in your future. See, the Bible says hope does not disappoint. And hope, the only possibility of hope not disappointing is it the thing you hope for becoming a reality. This is your time and season to get back up from whatever that has knocked you down. It's your time for walking and leaping and praising God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Acts chapter 3 is going to be our text. Acts chapter 3, and have some other scriptures, but I doubt that I'll get to them. In Acts chapter 3, I love this chapter because it's, I believe, prophetically a indication of where we are in church history or where we are in this season and what God's doing. And I've had so much just personal enjoyment out of it. Verse 1 reads, now Peter and John, Peter's name means Petra, it's a rock, but he got the name rock by revelation. John's name means grace or favor. So here comes revelation and grace, revelation and favor. We're in a time when God's releasing more revelation and more favor than any time in history. Here comes revelation, here comes favor. They went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. The ninth hour, that's 3. So they're on their way to prayer. They're on their way to the recognized time of prayer that, of course, it doesn't infer or mean they hadn't prayed in their own lives, you know, that morning or whatever. But this was a regular scheduled time in the synagogue for prayer. And a certain man, everybody say certain man. So the Bible gives us a pretty interesting behavior. In the New Testament, people are represented by names. Often their names, their first name, their city, they're identified by their name and their family name. But often when a person has a long-term injury, a long-term difficulty, a long-term struggle, the Bible just calls them a certain person. And the reason is not out of a indifference to their pain, but a recognition that something other than their birth name is now identifying them. So what happens in life, God has a plan for you. God speaks out a name, a purpose, an identity for you. But until we lock into that, life will give us a different name. Life will tell us we're someone we're not. Life will brand us and label us and mark us and mar us and re-image us and re-identify us in an inappropriate way. And this certain man, this is true of his own journey, his own story. Certain man, lame from his mother's womb, born crippled in his legs, was carried and laid daily at the gate of the temple. So let me just stop there. I praise God for people that during broken seasons of my life carried me someplace I couldn't go on my own. I praise God for loving Christians and loving family members and friends and leaders that had the grace, the initiative, and the wherewithal to carry me someplace and help me. But there comes a time when the people that are carrying you someplace, you recognize they can't carry you to where you really want to go. And they were carrying this man as far as they could. They carried him to the brink of a miracle. They carried him to the beginning of a new season. And now they've carried him to a gate, and the gate has a name, and the name's important. To the gate of the temple called Beautiful. Everybody say Beautiful. So Beautiful is just, you know, in English, it's an awesome word. And when I was first dating my wife, you know, and we were apart for, a season of time when I was at seminary, and every letter I tell, you know, I should have used a dictionary, but I use the word beautiful too often. Your hair is beautiful, your smile is beautiful, you know, your fingernails are beautiful. You know, your nose is beautiful. So beautiful is a word that we really understand. We have a grasp on the beautiful. I love beautiful sunsets. I take pictures of my phone. So beauty is something we can identify with. And so this gate is called beautiful. And interestingly enough, it's not called beautiful because of its ornate features or its structure, its architecture, or its design. It's called beautiful because of its promise. So the word beautiful in the Greek is horaos. And it's a compound word. Hora is the word for hour or time. And horaos means the right time, the right hour, the right season. Hence, a beautiful time. So this man sitting at a gate called, it's your time. And he's sitting there in a condition that has crippled him. He's sitting there representing the limitations of his life, his journey. He was born broken, as we all are, without Christ. Amen. We're all born into Adam and born again into Christ, given new life, freed from the slavery of an old nature, given right standing with God, and embraced by God's unaltered affection. That's what the cross does. But this man is carried to the gate of a beautiful. So Ecclesiastes says, if we give God time, he'll make anything beautiful. He makes everything beautiful in its time. So one way of categorizing beauty is anything in creation that fulfills its God designed purpose, manifests a particular, unique, and extravagant beauty that can't be replicated by any other thing. So every person, every flower, every bird, every thing in orbit of our stars and the beautiful world we live in, the fish, the animals, the plants, everything in creation, when it grows into its maturity and manifests its potential and fulfills its design, God looks at it and says, that's beautiful. Now, the reason why that's important, I'm so glad I'm just going to, there's no way I'm finishing this message. I'm just alerting myself. You're not going to finish? Okay. I'm okay with that. So what we do is we look at things that are incomplete and make judgments about their value. Ah, that person's a mess. Oh my God. But when God looks at the person, he sees the unrealized beauty, the potential, and he sees the time that they could walk into. He sees that they're sitting at the gate of right timing, and they're so close to everything changing. See, the Bible calls us, the body of Christ, beautiful. Amen. We're called a beautiful bride. And Christ is coming for a bride without spot and wrinkle, a glorious bride, a beautiful bride. So he's coming for, see, there never will be perfect people in the sense of, you know, how we would imagine perfection. But perfection in the Bible is represented by maturity, instead of the other way of looking at it as never making a mistake. So maturity is glory. Maturity is beauty. So this man is sitting in a time of immaturity. He's sitting in his own locked up, unfulfilled destiny, bound by a crippling condition that has kept him the same his whole life, 40 plus years. But he's in a prophetic season, a window, a door, a gate that says everything's about to change because it's your time. And I'm going to make everything in your life that's ugly, beautiful. I'm going to make everything in your life that's unfinished, finished. This is your hour.
So God's looking at the church in 2014 and says, you're at the right gate, you're at the right place. I don't care how broken you feel. I don't care what's gone wrong. I don't care what knocked you down. All those things don't influence me at all. I just want you to know something. It's your time. It's your time. So this man's at the right place. He's in the right time. And he's about to engage the right people. So this man's brought there to ask alms. Now, another thing is this. I like him already because some people become so broken by life's defeats that they stop initiating any kind of forward motion in their life. So he can't do certain things, but he says, you know what I can do? I can ask them rich Christians for money. Just go put me right outside the door of, maybe not this church, but just kidding. And when those fellows come in, I'm going to ask them. So he's engaged. He's a fighter. It's amazing what God can do when you have a little fight left in you. Come on, someone say, I'm a fighter. Okay? Maybe, see, I can't do some things, but I can do. See, just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you can't do something. One of the most crippling assaults in life is when we compare our life to someone else's. I just be honest with you. I was talking to this pastor this week or this church elder, and he was telling me about their church's budget, and it was $80 million. And so I grabbed my chest and I said, their church is a little bit bigger than ours, but their budget is much bigger than ours, 20 times. And so as soon as I heard that, I knew it was a test. So I digested that, and I finally said, that is totally awesome. It's wonderful what your church is doing. Because when we can celebrate what God's done for someone else, God will do the same thing for us. Okay. So this guy is fighting out a existence. He's gone to the gate, and now here comes revelation and favor. Here comes Peter and John. Here comes the apostolic and prophetic. I could preach this any way you want it. Just tell me how you want it today. You with me? You want it medium well? You want it whatever? But fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. This is so important. Because Peter and John had, because of their, even before Christ, but especially the time of Christ, had several years of familiarity. They knew that path. They knew that gate. They knew that time. Everything to them was familiar there. And one of the problems with familiarity is that God often wants to talk to you about someone that you're so familiar with. He wants to interrupt the way you think about them with a heavenly revelation concerning their life. Take another look at the people in your world, because God may show you something different you've never seen before. So Peter says, so I'm just guessing, and I think it's an educated guess, but I imagine Peter's walked past this same guy. If this was his routine, then this has happened dozens, hundreds of times. But this day was different, because the Holy Spirit was driving the car. And Peter suddenly had a thought come into his consciousness. And he's walking, so it's busy. It's a marketplace. There's a whole congregation of people. It's prayer time, so it's been crowded. There are people lining the streets, doing business. There's more than one beggar there. There's all kinds. There's children. There's commotion. It's just a typical city. A village, it's beautiful, it's active, and in the middle of that, God's zeroing in on one person who's crippled and lame and forgotten. And see, when you walk with God, God will show you the one person in the crowd he wants to touch. When you walk with God, God will show you something everyone else is missing because of the busyness or the occupation or the predisposed thinking. And so Peter says, he looks at him, and the Holy Spirit says, don't look away. And now Peter says, I'm seeing in you what I've never seen before. And then he says, look back at us. And the next sentence is important because it's instructive and valuable for what happens next. So this man gave Peter his attention, expecting to receive something from him. So this man gave Peter his attention, and I love, hope is the most amazing thing. There's a scripture in Job and it says, there's hope for a tree. Though it's cut down, though it falls like timber, though its leaves wither, though it begins to turn into, you know, just decay, yet at the scent of water, its branches sprout new leaf. The Bible says that hope is so valuable that anchors our soul. The Bible says, now abide these three, faith, hope, and love. Hope is like oxygen to the human soul. Deprived of hope, people do not function normal, healthy, or vibrantly. But I like this guy. He's got no reason to hope, but he has a unreasonable, undefeatable, divinely planted. See, the reason why you came to church tonight, the reason why you're hopeful in spite of that family, that money, that business, that ministry, that goofy person, that this and that last 3 months, oh my God. But there's something inside of you that just says it's a light down the shaft of a dark tunnel. It's a sound of joy in the midst of chaos. It's the peace in the midst of a storm. It's the sound of a loving Father comforting a broken child. So there's something inside of you that says, God's not done in my story. He's not done in my family. He's not done in this circumstance I'm engaged in. And this guy says, I'm ready for whatever you have to give me. See, expectation is the fertile ground where miracles grow. Expectation is the greenhouse where miracles, signs, and wonders. So this is so important because when you lose expectation and you just let life come at you and you have no defenses for its constant defeats and battery against your soul, what hope does, it gives you a shield. David wrote one of the greatest poems in all of human history. It's the 27th Psalm, and he said, the Lord's my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord's the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He said, one thing have I desired, Lord, that will I seek after, to dwell in his house all the days of my life, to behold his beauty and to inquire in his temple. And then he sneakily, in verse 13, he says, let me just give you a transparent moment. I was ready to quit. I almost had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. David said, yeah. There was something inside of me when I was living in a dark cave called Adullam, and I was being treated as the FBI's most wanted criminal, and a demon-possessed king was trying to kill me, and people were just scattering my name in gossip and ridicule. And as a young man, I was a prince, and now I'm being treated like a criminal. But David said, I wanted to throw in the towel, but something said, God wouldn't let me quit. I kept having this expectation. expecting to receive something, and Peter said, I forgot my checkbook at home. Don't have my American Express gold card. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. It preaches 10 ways. Let me just pick a couple of them. You can tell me the things you know, but you can only give me the things you have. And when you know what you have, that's always enough to overcome what you don't. See, we get in trouble because we know what we don't have and then we don't know what we do have. But when you know what you got, that's enough. Amen? Amen. Come on now, go to Dr. McCrae's next seminar. He said, I don't got money, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, in the name of the Savior, Yeshua, the Savior, the Christ, the Christos, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Title not used till after the resurrection, Christ of Nazareth, his humanity. Rise up and walk. So now, by the kingdom of God, filled with God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit is engaging. This is the first miracle of the church, and so encompassed the narrative of the story is the whole law of miracles. So I don't want to get lost in that, but there's so much here. So Peter says, I have something that never doesn't work. You ever had this embarrassing thing when you gave that, you know, you're paying for your meal at the restaurant, you gave her the credit card, and you, sir, the card didn't go through. I always say, must be a mistake. She says, okay, I'll run it again. I tell my wife, where's the back door? No, I say, get another card, or, you know, we have to find another payment to cover this. The name of Jesus has never found a bill it couldn't pay. Is that good enough for you? It's never found a sin it couldn't forgive, a disease it couldn't heal, a demon it couldn't cast out. Peter said, I got the one. I got the big enchilada. I got heaven's MasterCard. I got the currency. And so he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up. So get this now. Someone had to say it before heaven could do it. See, we all feel these impulses from the Holy Spirit. You know, something could happen there. The challenge is to elevate that impulse into a declaration of faith, to engage in a circumstance where there could be boldness. It's embarrassing. It's not confrontational, but it's aggressive to tell someone, you know, I feel like Jesus wants to heal you. Can I pray for you? That's what Peter said. I don't got, here's another way of putting it. Most of the time, people asked God for the wrong thing. As they evaluate their life, as they evaluate their circumstance, their trouble, their need, their problem, people say, God, give me this. But the awesome thing about your God, he loves you so much, is I appreciate you asking me for this, but how about if I just one-up you and give you what you really need? So a bunch of times, I'm glad God changed my prayer. Thank you for not giving me exactly what I asked for, because what you gave is better. So God doesn't give us what we always ask for, but he always gives us what we need. Okay. So he says this, in Jesus' name, rise up. Well, the Greek word rise up is egiro. It's E-G-I-R-O. you don't pronounce G in Greek, but I'm not going to, I can't make all the tongue-twisting moves. So egoro, used now, it's used here in Romans and Ephesians primarily. It is a phenomenal word, but it because it means to find someone who's inactive. And they're inactive, the primary use is find someone who's sleeping and then wake them up. Or it could be just laying down. They're physically inactive. They could be, you know, conscious. And you pull them up. And then it means to find someone who's sick and pull them into health, awake their health. Find someone who's depressed and awake them into peace. So egoro means, rise up means to, that the Holy Spirit is going to change your status by pulling you out of whatever has caused you to lay down in the bed of injury. Whatever has caused you, you know, I texted last night that passivity is always a manifestation of brokenness. Because when someone loses their initiative, it's because something in their will has been broken. And one of the signs, what Jesus does, he gives us such an extravagant encounter with his love and such a continuous extravagant encounter with his love. He heals us so we start dreaming passionately again. And a dreaming heart is proof of a healed heart. So, this picture, this example, this first miracle of the church is God saying to anything that's dysfunctional, anything that's been crippled, anything born this way. Can I just launch out into dangerous waters? See, your sexual preferences might be 100% genuine to you. How you feel about sex. And yet when you read scripture, they're contrary to what God said is his requirements for the expression of a sexual life. But you would say, Pastor, it's in my heart to be like that. I know, because your heart is crippled. And we adapt to what we have so we can survive what we don't. And the church has adapted to brokenness. The church has adapted to laying down and giving up on government and culture and arts and media and business, the giving up on our families, our future, our destiny, and not dreaming anymore. I don't want to be tormented by dreams. No. Dreams don't torment you. They bring you alive. And so Peter, the apostolic age, the apostolic gift, the heavenly authority of a Holy Spirit gift says to broken people, you're getting back on your feet. Okay? This is big because everybody's crippled someplace. Yeah, it's true. Thank you, James, me and you. Well, this story has a good result. He took him by the right hand. Right hand of authority. There's so much there. And lifted, same word, egiro, lift up. So I like this. The first command was to get up. The second was a touch to pull up. So the Holy Spirit will always confirm what we've said he'll do. Okay. He'll touch what we've declared. You still with me? If you have enough faith to say, your marriage will be healed, your body healed, your business blessed, and just start declaring resurrection words. then heaven's hand will come right down into that thing and pull it up. Get back up. He grabbed him by the right hand and lifted, Egero lifted him up. And immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. So in the name of Jesus, those watching, those listening, those viewing in the future by TV or any mechanism, those here, I command every weakness in your soul, your body, your life. I speak to it in the name of Jesus. I speak strength, heaven's strength. Heaven's irresistible, undefeatable grace to everything that hurts in your life. It's your time to get back up. So the man then, this man, unnamed, leaped up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. Walking, leaping, praising God. Okay, now here's why I want to get your attention. Gave a guy a prophecy this week, you know, three breakthroughs would happen. Next day that happened for him. I feel God shortening the time between declarations and manifestations. I feel the compression. It's a wonderful time. So he stood on his own. Now you have to get this, because God will help you and empower you, but then God will trust you to walk it out. He stands. So he did what he'd never done. In Jesus' name, I declare, you're going to do things in this beautiful day. A door's opened to do things you've never done. See, there are undiscovered parts of your potential, your divine purpose, your human giftedness, the way God made you to be that you've never discovered. The second thing, you're going to go places you've never gone. He couldn't go into the temple because Mosaic law forbid any physical deformity, any imperfection. It was kind of cruel, because even if you had, you know, zits, you couldn't go to church. So praise God for proactive, whatever it is. So he went where he'd never been. See, you can be just 10 feet away from everything you dreamed. Let me help you. You can feel like it's the wrong city, but it's only because you're 10 feet away. You can feel like you're in the wrong place, but you're in the right place. You just haven't gone through the right gate. Now listen to me. You can't get into the right gate still being the wrong person. I was talking, dealing with someone, and I'm all the time counseling leaders. I try to help them be kind, because everyone's burned out by leadership in any realm, in families and churches, and that's authoritative, dogmatic, cruel, insensitive. Oh my God. Of all places, we can't have that here. We can't misrepresent Christ. That's not the way he leads. He gently leads those. He's the perfect example. So I'm all the time, you know, telling people, make sure you can have the right idea. But if you have the wrong attitude, people never get your idea. All they do is get offense by your... See, you have to be the person that can handle. A time will come when a door will open for you suddenly, supernaturally, spectacularly. You'll walk into it. And as soon as you walk into it, you say, I'm so glad I didn't walk in here 5 years ago. Because the 5 year ago me his first decision might have been, okay, I'm gonna kill everybody who hurt me last season. Here's the list. So it's your time. Okay. And the last thing, so he's walking, leaping, praising God. There is a praise inside of you that is wholly reserved as a celebration of the transformation God will do in your own life. The transformed life, the praise of a transformed life is unique. See, I can praise God by what I see about him. Oh, you're so good. You're one. His attributes, I can see in history. I can see it. But when I experience personal change, I'm not praising him because I read a book. And I said, man, whoo-hoo, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. So you're going to go where you've never gone, do what you've never done, and be who you've never been allowed to become. Okay. So this miracle, all the people saw him walking, praising God, verse 9. They knew it was the man. This is called a notable miracle. Everyone knew it. It's called a setup. You have to get this. When the attention of people is drawn to you when you're down, it's because God wants them all to see you when you get up. You with me? Because I used to say, you know, 20 years ago, why in the hell am I in the newspaper? I've never even smoked a cigarette. I know some pastors that live a little bit worse than me, and I'm justifying, it seemed like our experience had an amplified media presence. And I kept thinking, why? Why are they picking on me? Why are they doing that, James? What? Why are they after me? And yet, when God turned things around, and I was at a pastor's meeting this week, and everybody, you know, they just loved me to tell me, Mike, tell your story again. We'd love hearing it. Because they all knew the guy that was down. Your story's not over. Okay. All the people as I'm walking, then they knew it was the dude, the beggar, the smiley beggar, the expectant beggar, who sat by the beautiful gate, and then they were filled with wonder. Thambos was made astonishment, amazement. Stupefaction and amazement is the Greek word ecstasis. And ecstasis is where we get the word ecstasy. Ecstasy is a displacement of the mind to experience emotions in a higher state. Now, studying Pentecostalism, they discovered that Pentecostals, they were worshiping God in the Spirit, came into an ecstatic state. So this happened turn of the century. They're studying psychologists come to church. They're studying Pentecostals, you know, black Pentecostal churches, and then charismatic movement. They said, these people are having a displaced mental experience and elevated. So before there was a pill, see, what happens when miracles are deprived from a culture, they fall prey for other avenues to experience ecstasy. Because people were made to see the supernatural. That's why the top movies are always, you know, movies about the supernatural, an extravagant thing, you know. I went and saw one this last week about Captain America. He's still killing Nazis. It's 70 years later. It's awesome. So The problem is, so these are in the temple. So these are both people that are marketplace people, but then there's educated people, there's a whole array. So it's amazing the great reach of just one miracle. Now, a miracle by itself is not the total package. Miracle signs and wonders are the attention grabbers for the declaration of the kingdom. Jesus said, he healed them, then preach the kingdom. So they're filled with this state, and now, verse 11, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, and so everybody's running together. Peter saw it, verse 12, he responds, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so intently as at us, as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of our forefathers, glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up, denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, another name for Christ, and the just, another name for Christ, and asked for the murder to be granted to you. You killed the Prince of Life, a great name of Christ, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. See, a miracle is a manifestation of the resurrection. And his name, here's what I wanted to get to in closing. His name, everybody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
So his name, Peter is saying, here's how he did this miracle. His name, through faith in his name, made this man strong. So God gave us the name when Jesus rose from the grave. He conquered sin, he conquered Satan, conquered disease. So his name is now exalted above every name. But his name, absent faith, remains a dormant weapon. So the trigger mechanism that released the power of his name was our faith in it. But then he goes on to say, he has the faith that comes through him. I love this. So he says this, why are you looking at me? He gave me his name, he gave me his faith. Everything that made that man walk, Jesus gave me. So you have to get this, because I grew up in a time when there was some, people with healing gifts would say, here's how my healing gift works. I pray more than you. I fast more than you. I'm not against prayer and fasting. Please do it. But whenever we divert onto ourselves the whole or even the partial glory for a manifestation of a heavenly work, we're robbing people of two things. We're robbing people of the glory they should give God. And number two, we're robbing them of the pattern how they can replicate it in their own world. He said it was his name, shout Jesus!
Jesus.
And faith in his name that made this man strong, as you all know. And then he said this, which has given him this perfect soundness. The perfect soundness is a great Greek word, holokaleio, which means integrity, complete in every part, restored completely to the original design. So I'm going to close with this. So in life, every person that we connect with, contact with, so around us are people that are missing parts, that are crippled, that are missing something, that have been broken. And we have the restoration tool. Amen. See integrity, nothing missing. Restored to, so get this. This guy had never walked. Sometimes it's hard to convince people what they're supposed to have because they've never had it. It's one thing if you had something and lost it. You know about loss. You can relate to, well, I used to have it. I lost it, man. I feel the pain. But if you've never had it, he'd never walked. See, there are some losses that God wants to restore. You can't get without revelation. And revelation is, this is what I meant for you. This is what you've always had, crippled since his mother's womb. But that's not what I meant for your life. When God shows you what he meant for you, what he purposed, what he destined, what he dreamed, what he created you for, and then you contrast where you are, then you can believe a restoration. Don't accept what you were never made to have and be. Don't accept nothing less than God's best. Amen. Hey, would you stand your feet, please, tonight? Lord, we love you and praise you. We worship you. We'll have the air fixed by Sunday, too. We're fixing everything right here, which is good. Lord, thank you. On this Holy Week, it's also Passover. It's just a magnificent time on the calendar. Lord, I pray tonight in Jesus' name for a profound and real and deep lasting revelation that it's the right time. Would you say a couple of things with me? Would you say this? It's the right time. It's my time. It's the right day. It's a beautiful day. So here we are, the gate of called beautiful. Here we are in a prophetic moment. Here we are in the shadow of the cross, resurrection week. Here we are. And God's has some unfinished business in your world. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Come on, just worship the Lord. We worship you, loving God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you and praise you. Come on, just worship the Lord. Lord, I pray for hope to flourish, for expectation to return, for revelation to enlighten. I pray, God, for strength to be poured out. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man. Just feel the tug of heaven's heart for you today. It's so beautiful, so wonderful. God, thank you. Your love for your people. Great love for their lives. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like there would be too many people, but what the heck? If you feel, say, Pastor, this word was speaking to me tonight, I'm going to stand and believe and claim something that's been broken in my life. I'm going to claim its healing. I'm going to claim it's resurrection. I'm going to claim it getting up. Would you just come and join me at the altar? We're going to pray, prophesy over you, and then we'll see what the Lord wants us to do. Thank you, Jesus. Just while you're coming, just say, it's my day. It's my day. It's my time. It's a beautiful time. It's heaven's right time for me. Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Listen, if you're here today, we're so honored that you're here. But if a friend brought you, or if you're visiting, if you've never experienced God's love in Christ, I want you to come join us down here too. If you've never known salvation, if you don't know if you're saved, if you don't know what that means, we want to talk to you and pray for you down here. If you need to slip out, you can. I'm going to just keep praying for those that are down front and just keep letting the Holy Spirit move in these moments. Lord, we thank you. What you're doing. Come on, just worship the Lord. Holy God, faithful God, wonderful God, we worship you and praise you. How wonderful you are. How awesome your presence. Glorious you are, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. I'm going to ask the prayer team that's here and any pastors that are here to come and help me. Just a minute, we're going to pray for people. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you, brothers and sisters. And I pray healing. I pray resurrection into everything that God's not done with, everything hurting, broken, or unfulfilled. And I declare a season of divine beauty, where God brings completion, fulfillment has dawned. A new day has dawned in your life and your story. God's got awesome things for you in this season. He's going to show himself strong for you. You're going to see his faithfulness. You're going to watch God restore things that have been broken or taken. You're going to watch God rebuild what was torn down. You're going to watch God give you the heart to dream again. Thank you, God. Thank you, loving God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord's taking just a heaviness and a grief off your heart. You've handled a really difficult thing with godliness and dignity, but God is healing you, repairing you, restoring you. The cost, some of the devastating consequences, he's healing you. And that you've asked God for two things. God's doing two magnificent things. And one of them, people are going to be so amazed how God restored and fixed and renewed. And the other is almost about to happen. But God, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, bless Ms. Priscilla. Thank you, God, for your hand upon her life. Thank you, God, for her strength, her wisdom, her godliness, her virtue. I saw you in a hallway, and you had stepped out of a door, and it shut, and you said, Lord, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. And all of a sudden, the door opened up with a great light in it. You're in a hallway of change, a great door is opening. Blessings, promotion, increase, and surprises have been ordained by God over your life. In the name of Jesus. Keep worshiping the Lord, everybody. Thank you, God. Come on, just worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship the Lord. How's that song go? Jesus, I love you because you first loved me. Just that chord. Yeah, just the chorus. So how about that, my son? But thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace, your strength,
Jesus,
your help. I had a great vision. I touched you. I saw the Lord. He had a, like in a gas tank. And he said, tell my son I'm filling his tanks. He's been running empty. He's been feeling low. Tell him I'm going to fill him with strength physically. I'm going to fill him with a newness of spiritual insight and vision. And it's at this time, it's going to translate into a strategy and plan. Oh, God, thank you. You're going to put together some awesome things in this season. Oh, God, open doors. Going to happen, Lord. Thank you, God. You've seen so many different ways you've supplied your grace. And God, this season will be another miracle, another breakthrough. And there was a function, a purpose, a reason for a delay, something that's kind of discouraged you. You're going to find out why and be grateful for it in the timing of God. Oh, the Lord's healing, Lord's healing, Lord's healing. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be cautious because of life, because of the struggles, because of history. But God's going to give you an unreasonable boldness, a joyfulness, an expectation that won't be denied. This is It's going to be nothing but a good season. Thank you, God, for the great things you're going to do. You prepared them. You've orchestrated them. You're releasing them. Thank you, God, for them. Kalabalalaba. I saw you dancing. And you were dancing when everyone else was crying. You were dancing because God showed you what was about to happen. And the prophetic instinct you have, that expectation born by this promise, this walk with God, everyone, suddenly the dance floor will be full with people that are experiencing what you experienced prophetically. They're experienced naturally because you prophesied. And the Lord said, because you danced when no one else did, and you worshiped when no one else would, and you rejoiced in me, a great barrier, a great wall has been broken down, and a great release of deliverance and freedom is coming to many people's lives. God's going to use the depth of the word in you and the depth of the spirit in you. It's going to funnel out of your life in a dynamic, powerful release of healing ministry to broken lives. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Touch your heart right there. I feel like the Lord says that he's doing something medically in your heart, your natural heart, but he's also doing something spiritually in your heart, emotions. Thank you, God, for your healing, your precious daughter. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Property miracle, a car miracle. I'm going to see some actual manifestations of miracles happen in this next season. Things are being drawn, attracted, and run into your life in a powerful way. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for hand upon my sister. I got a great word for you. Jesus is taking the heavy weight carrying about a broken covenant, about a broken promise. He's taking it off of you. He loves you so much. His love for you is undefeatable, unconquerable, and it's going to heal. Yeah. You're going to get your song back. You're going to get your joy. The weightiness, the weariness that you've been feeling is leaving you. Joy, that the long dark night is over. Joy is in the morning, and it's morning now. God, thank you for a season of just as Peter said, God, joy unspeakable and full of glory. That kind of supernatural celebration, that season of restoration is happening. Three children getting miracles, three deliverances, three curses broken. You've entered into a worshipful intercession. Chains are being broken. And you're going to see it happen. You're going to see it happen, precious one. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I saw, just like I mentioned tonight, revelation and favor. I saw the Lord's hand. One hand it was like a scepter. The other hand it was like a scroll, a written scroll. God is giving you unusual favor, and a revelatory insight, not just to one thing, but to many things. So God's going to make you a strategist. It's going to make you such an insightful counselor to many. You're going to see in this next season the reason why three doors were shut. You walk in the hallway, and there's a fourth door that's opening, and the Spirit of God has preserved you for a divine Esther-like moment, and the keys in the door, it's being unlocked now, and heaven is releasing such a great season of fulfillment. This is the season when everything changes, but it's all good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I. Wonderful Jesus. got a great word for you. God is, you're getting a spiritual detox from all the emotional stuff. It was like 6 or 7 people that you've had to be a heavenly intercessor for, and just a voice before God, carrying the burdens, and especially in the family. And so the Lord's taking all the weight, all the effects physically and emotionally out of your body, out of your soul. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I love you.
Giving you a new heart, the Lord says. You view your heart as in many pieces, fragmented. But I want you to know that I specialize in putting broken hearts together. I specialize in rebuilding broken people. Unusual opportunity is coming as a sign from God of a new season. There's going to be a token, a first fruits of some awesome things God's doing. He wants you to know He's with you, He's for you, and He's going to help you through this. And there's going to be an outcome that you can't even imagine. So you trust the Lord and you cling to Him. He's going to help you every step of this journey. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God's got some awesome things, unbelievable things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I've got everything under control. I've got you where I want you. And I want you to know that the thing that you carry tonight, I'm working powerfully on. And God says, just give everything to me. Give everything to me. The Lord's cutting a cord from your heart to a burden you're not called to carry. But you've, since about 11 or 12, you have felt compelled to. God's releasing you from it. And you're going to run unfettered by anything. A great creative gift is going to keep blossoming. A dynamic understanding is coming into your mind. I saw pages book pages. They were like blueprints. Engineering specs. They are very detailed, very specific, very directed. So there's coming such a supernatural download of things. And I saw 3 men come together, and when they all slid their blueprints together, it formed a supernatural equation for a both economic and environmental breakthrough that will change the world. I loosen this heavenly visitation to you and those other men in Jesus' name. God has big plans to help people through your life. And the good thing is you've stopped trying to explain or defend people the unusual calling you feel God has on you. When they keep trying to pigeonhole you into this or that, that or this. But thank you, the Lord says, for allowing me to guide you to a place of self-discovery so I can release you to a place of kingdom fulfillment. Thank you, God, for doing awesome things in this life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.